Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly. Whether you are a leader or individual contributor, a teacher or a nurse, we'll share conversations and stories that highlight meaningful connections, self-awareness, a sense of belonging, and all the components necessary to create a workplace where you can show up in your authentic energy. Welcome back to Authentic Energy and our Transformation Tuesday episode. Today we're talking about emotions at work. What? Emotions don't belong at work. But the thing is, emotions are part of being human, and in most places I've worked, they were filled with humans. So let's talk about it. This is a solo episode today. There's a piece of content that's informed this episode, though, and Susan David is my new favorite author on this topic. Her latest book, Emotional Agility, Get Unstuck, Embrace Change, and Thrive in Work and Life, is really striking a chord. As we look at new ways of working and challenging what it looks like to show up authentically, emotions are one piece of the equation that have not been discussed enough, and she is doing a great job of bringing this discussion to the forefront. So I'll be pulling some insights from her book throughout this episode, and of course, we'll be talking about its relation to energy, which will come from my coaching practice. So I'm curious if you've ever had a situation at work where you felt some type of way about how a colleague had treated you, or even maybe your leader. I know that you have, and so have I, because again, we're human. Many of my coaching clients in our first few sessions spend a lot of time telling me what other people are doing wrong, how they are the victim to a peer's poor performance that's impacting them, or how someone else is acting. When I dig in to find out why these things are bothersome to them, there's usually something that's triggering this emotion of frustration or anger. Have you ever felt like you've been wronged because you've been passed over for a promotion, or felt like someone else received recognition for something you did or said only minutes before, and they get all the credit for it? Sometimes it's an event like being passed over for a promotion that evokes emotion, and sometimes it's an interaction with an individual that triggers a feeling or emotion. Well, emotions may feel good or bad, but in reality, they are neither good nor bad. They just are. And one of the best ways to grow as a person and as a leader is to listen to and understand your emotional responses and know that emotions are part of a process, but they are not automatic. People usually react to their emotions. They judge their emotions as good or bad instead of listening to the emotion and figuring out what it's trying to tell them. Susan David says that emotions are just a signpost for our needs and values. Think about that for a minute. When you're having an emotional response to something, that emotion that you are experiencing is trying to tell you something. You've been passed over for a promotion. You feel angry, resentful, frustrated. You had a value of being deserving of that promotion, and you believed that you were the right one for the job. Or maybe you're feeling angry and frustrated with yourself for not getting that promotion. Maybe your belief is that you knew you weren't good enough. Emotions are related to how we interpret events and situations. Look at emotions as tools to help you understand what's going on for you in any particular situation. You can ask yourself questions like, why did I have this response? Or what can I learn from this? These questions allow you to observe what's going on and to pay attention to what's happening instead of just reacting to the circumstances. And as a leader, if you are witnessing your employee experiencing emotion, take some time to ask them what might be happening for them, why they might be angry or frustrated. Authentic, conscious leaders are aware of their own and others' emotions, and they're able to step back and recognize that their emotions are not automatic. Susan also talks about getting hooked. She makes a comparison to the hook in a story or a movie that captures the audience's interest and sets the story in motion and drives the action forward. It involves conflict, and seeing how the conflict gets resolved is why we're hooked into a movie, to see how that conflict is resolved. But for us, a hook isn't something that keeps us excited and on the edge of our seat. Instead, this conflict, this hook, is when we are caught by a self-defeating emotion, a thought, or a behavior. And it's up to us to resolve the conflict that exists. In my coaching, we call these conflicts or energy blockers gales, G-A-I-L. They're called gales because a gale is an acronym for the four types of self-defeating beliefs that we've created over time for ourselves based on our own experiences. They are gremlins, I know, I'll explain in just a minute, assumptions, interpretations, and limiting beliefs. So let's start with the gremlin. This is the worst offender. This is a belief that we have had for a very long time, and it's been reinforced with thoughts like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not pretty enough. We all have gremlins, and they hold us back from reaching our true potential. So that's G for the gales. The A in gale is an assumption, making an assumption about why something happened or why we are feeling a certain way. And this can be based off of something that just happened before. And we often make assumptions that just because it happened last time, it's going to happen again. The I is interpretation, and this is the lens that we put on something based on the way that we see it. Typical interpretations may sound like this. He doesn't like me. She thinks I'm incompetent. They don't want to follow orders. My son is just not interested in doing his homework. Interpretations can be directly challenged by asking, what's another way to look at that? Just realizing that there are other ways to look at something lessens the power of your interpretations. And finally, the L is limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are general beliefs about the world, about your environment or situation, and the people around you that stand in your way. Usually you accept a limiting belief as true because you've learned it from someone else, from some type of authority, from the media, maybe in a movie, maybe from your parents, and you assume that's just the way it is. So an example of a limiting belief from people that I've coached are related typically to money or work. There are a lot of limiting beliefs around money, like people with a lot of money think they're better than everyone else, or in order to make a lot of money, you have to work extremely hard. And Some limiting beliefs around work is that in order to be successful, I have to give up quality time with my family. Maybe you've seen other people experience it in that way, or you've just been told that and you just believe that's the way that it is. That's a limiting belief. And each of the gales can block you from reaching your true potential and becoming the best version of yourself. And your emotions may be a signpost for one of these beliefs. So the two main things to recognize about emotions are that, number one, they are natural. But number two, they are not automatic. And if we get to the root of where the emotions are coming from, we can move our energy. And this is something that we can work on as an individual. But what about when we see our team responding with emotions that are interfering with productivity? I once had a client, a CEO of a small business, say, I am so tired of the drama around here. I don't want to deal with these different personalities. I just want to do my job. Dealing with personalities and emotions may not be what you thought you'd be dealing with when you started your business or were hired in your C-suite position, but this is arguably as important as the other skills that you bring to the table, right up there with strategy, finance, sales, you name it. So how can we bring emotions into the conversation in a meaningful way? And now don't confuse being emotional with expressing emotions. We don't want to go around screaming and shouting or constantly breaking out into tears. But here are three things that you can do in the work environment when you're faced with emotions. So step one is acknowledging the emotion. Take a step back and acknowledge your emotion. What are you experiencing? Name it. Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it embarrassment? Is it guilt? And what could it be telling you? What value or need do you have that is in conflict? Remember, this emotion is a signpost. Step two, remove the judgment. Emotions are not good or bad. We all experience them, and they are trying to tell you something. Step three, if you have had a conflict with someone and you feel like it has not been resolved, share the emotion. Now, this is important. Discuss the emotion without judgment or blame. Ask for a conversation where you both are not trying to problem solve and neither is monopolizing the conversation, but you both share the emotions that you experienced without judgment. And then you can move into solving how you move forward. A few weeks ago, we discussed the 7 levels of energy. It was episode 50, that's 50, if you want to go back and listen to it. But at the lower levels of energy are where we experience some of these emotions that we've discussed. Level 1 was where we experience guilt, self-doubt, worry, fear, embarrassment, hopelessness, anxiety, and low self-esteem. And level 2 energy is where we are experiencing resentment, hatred, greed, blame, stress, disappointment, frustration, and just basic struggling. Remember that there is no judgment of the levels, and we all experience every single level of energy. But we don't want to stay in these levels too long because they have some disadvantages if we're there for a while. So when we are in these levels, we have lower levels of motivation, satisfaction, and productivity. And leaders living in these levels of energy typically use force, fear, intimidation, and coercion as their leadership strategies, which may have short-term success, but have long-term impacts on morale and culture. So as you move forward in your workplace or at home, and you inevitably come across some of these emotions, think about what they are telling you. What are these signposts representing? Could there be some gales that are not allowing you to move forward at some of the higher levels of energy? At level 3 energy, people are able to move past any judgment or negativity so that they can remain focused on making positive movements toward their goals. I don't want you to tolerate or settle for good enough in the pursuit of finding solutions to move forward. But if you take some time as you experience your emotions and understand what they might be trying to tell you and then address those areas, it can lead you to a more fulfilled and successful life. That is it for today, my friends. That is Emotions at Work. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me at wendy@wmbcoaching.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please go on and rate it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And more importantly, if you think someone you know may benefit from this episode, please share it with them. I just appreciate you so much. Thank you for listening. We'll see you soon.